Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
How are you feeling? I know you said you had a lot of stuff going on.
Girl, I just, a lot. I'm in a play, I have a podcast, I'm auditioning, I'm doing a lot.
Okay, she's booked and busy. Okay, well, you know what I think might make you feel better is a game.
Oh, you know what? Games with you, yes, always.
Okay, so we are going to play Two Truths and a Lie, Katy Perry edition.
Ooh, taking us back to elementary, junior high.
I think Two Truths and a Lie, and I think like college drinking game, but sure, maybe we were also playing this.
I mean, but you were also like, you know, going to Chicago for the Unifieds and drinking in high school. So
this is true. Okay, so I'm gonna tell you, make three statements about Katy Perry, and you have to determine which one is false.
Okay,
are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, number one, she once worked as a tattoo artist. Number two, Katy Perry is the second artist ever after Michael Jackson to land 5 U.S. number one records from one album. And number three, Katy Perry is not her real name.
Ooh. See, because so many people change their names, I'm gonna open door number three.
Okay, so you're going to say that's the lie?
Oh, shit.
Truth.
Two truths and a lie. How do you play the game, DeLon? Help. Okay, wait. No.
Oh, he's going through a lot. He's like, I remember this game from my childhood, except how to play it.
Except I don't. Okay, I got it. Okay. The truths are the name. She changed her name. Mm-hmm. I don't think Katy Perry has any tattoos. So I'm going to say the tattoo artist is the lie and the 5 Grammys is the 5 top number ones from one album is the mm-hmm. other truth.
Damn, you're good. Oh. Yeah, the tattoo artist thing was actually Margot Robbie was formerly a tattoo artist.
Really? I mean, that also doesn't track with her brand either, but that's my...
No, it doesn't. And also, I don't want the listeners thinking that I just know all this useless information. I definitely Googled interesting celebrity facts, and that was... I wanted to pick something that sounded real,
yeah,
but not Katy Perry.
I mean, it's not off. Like, Katy Perry has, like, the image of, like, it's, like, I don't know, it's, like, Zooey Deschanel and kind of, like, I'm a girl boy's like, you know what I mean? She has that thing, so I can see that, like, she might be a tattoo artist. You know what I'm talking about.
What? Is that your pick me voice? I'm a girl boys like.
Yeah, totally.
Wow, well, you know what boys like. I can say that.
I know what guys want. Come on, the reference. I know what boys like.
Yeah, no, I got Thank it. I got
it. It just
reference.
Wasn't good. Got it.
Yeah, I just, it just wasn't funny.
Okay.
But yes.
Okay. Listeners, I know you think I'm funny.
Ooh. Wait, no.
Listen. wait.
I hate you for that.
Let me fix it.
I'm DeLon Grant, and welcome back to Let Me Fix It, the podcast that says, if you've fallen from grace, come on down. You're the next contestant on Fix That Ass.
Oh, Fix That Ass. And I'm Francesca Ramsey. Welcome back to Let Me Fix It, the podcast that says, your brain's got a problem. Yo, we'll solve this.
I'm sorry.
I hate you.
Wait, no, do it again. Try it again.
Okay, I'm going to try it again. Your brand's got a problem. Yo, we'll solve it. This reference is so old, I'm embarrassed to involve
it. Oh, good job. Wait, you killed it. You killed it.
Come on.
Yes, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you all day.
And like, it's self-referential. It's aware. I know. I knew it was bad.
Well, that's what makes it funny. But like, yo, she was like,
you know what? Whatever. I tried, and we're going to pretend that that didn't even happen. And instead, we're going to focus on the episode ahead of us, because today we are tackling the rise and fall of the global pop superstar, Katy Perry.
Yes. So, Fran, if I'm honest, when you initially pitched Katy Perry as a topic for the pod, I wasn't super sold. I wasn't super excited because, I mean, listen, I get the brand. I know the music. But if somebody was like, hey, I have two tickets to a Katy Perry concert.
No.
I'd be like, what day is it? No, girl, I got stuff to do. I got stuff to do.
I mean, here's the thing. I would not be running to go, but I do, I have to admit, like, I like some of her songs.
They're bops.
She has many bops, but I'm also absolutely fascinated with her fall from grace, because Katy Perry, to my surprise, is one of the best-selling music artists of all time. Okay, she has sold over 143 million records worldwide.
Wow.
I know, it's mind-blowing. And in the late 2000s and early 2010s, she dominated the music charts.
I mean, what put her on the map was I Kissed a Girl, right? I mean, mm-hmm. problematic as hell now in hindsight. But no one can deny it was an absolute bop. I mean, I was singing and I even kissed girls like that.
Not you appropriating my culture. Katy had lots of hits. She had Hot and Cold, California Girls, Firework. She really was like a pro when it came to like the quirky, relatable, catchy hooks. But things really took a turn for her in 2018. And while she has remained a pop culture figure as a judge on American Idol, in the years since, her music career has really stagnated.
Yeah, in 2018, there was a post on a Reddit board, Out of the Loop, about Katy, and it went viral, where people were theorizing why she had fallen from grace. One comment mm-hmm. revealed that even Katy's label was scrambling to figure out how to turn the ship around. There's an interesting comment that read, I was recently in a focus group run by her label. They basically acknowledged that at least in like 21 to 35 bracket or so, she's no longer one of the most notable female pop artists. And they basically asked us, what can we do with her image or marketing to make you care about her again? That's so crazy.
God.
Fans, please tell us. The quote goes on to say, so the answer is her star is fading. It's the same reason no one talks about Aaron Carter and Lil Bow Wow anymore. R.I.P. Aaron Carter, though, ready?
I know, but it's so real. Like, the music was popping and then it wasn't. So we want to talk about what happened. How did she go from teenage dream to middle-aged snooze? We are going to... You like that one, though.
I did.
We are going to dig in, and then we're going to each do our best to pitch ideas to help Katy out. So Katy Perry, let me fix it. So Katy Perry, born Katherine Hudson, began her music career in the early 2000s as a Christian artist. Delon, did you know this?
I did not know. Look at God.
Look at him. Shining on Katy Hudson, her debut album, Katy Hudson, gained some traction with Christian audiences, but didn't really achieve much commercial success. And I thought it would be fun for us to play a little clip, because Delon, I want to hear what you think of one of Katy's songs.
Oh,
this
ready.
Is her performing on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. Okay, so she already has more credits than your girl. let's play a little bit of the clip.
All right.
Through the skin, you see my heart.
Playing that guitar,
okay.
Get it, Katy.
With the number on the bottom so you can tie it.
So you can send them some money.
Oh, she's a baby.
And even through this mask, you see my face.
The lawn?
For you are the only one.
It's giving. I mean, listen, she's playing the guitar. I'll give her that.
Yeah.
Can you search me?
You know what? I tell you, music production does a lot of things, doesn't it? It really now, fills in some gaps.
It's really true. Here's what I think is interesting when I hear this clip, because you're right, she is a baby, but she still has like the classic Katy Perry staples of her like voice. Mm-hmm. She does this weird thing. I couldn't figure out how to describe it.
The impression. Do you have an impression?
I don't really have a Katy Perry impression, okay. But it's just the fact that she like chews her R's. She's like, yeah, R, firework, you are.
I think that is an impression, by the by. Just want to say that. But you.
What is that? Is there a name for that? You're the singer.
There's like a covered thing. Yeah. I can't even do it.
It's like.
It's your soft palate. It's like really.
Giving
high.
Pirate. Giving
well, and it's also like off the voice. It's like you're giving vowel, but then you're backing off of it really quickly. Oh. And so, I mean, it lends itself to like, you know, studio recordings, but live, you're just kind of like, just have a layered backing track where her, like, you know, that lead is
just to fill it
tripled.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I the best thing about that clip was watching your face, because it looked like you know what it looked like? It looked like that face when you open the milk and you're like, is this milk still good? Let me just smell it a little bit. I'm not sure.
I was like, is that Katy Perry's daughter? Because she looked so young. I expected her to like really have the same hair and everything. But again, the guitar is very impressive as someone who's been trying to play the guitar for a minute. So back to Katy. Katy eventually adopted her mother's maiden name, Perry, to avoid being confused with Kate Hudson. Very, very smart move. I wouldn't have thought of that.
Makes sense.
She had a team, clearly. And in 2008, she released I Kissed a Girl as the first single on her record, One of the Boys. Like I said earlier, it's very Zooey Deschanel. Very like,
it is.
You know, also, Fran, it kind of, like, because you were like Gwen Stefani, like, growing up. That's kind of Ani DiFranco. That's kind of your ilk a little bit, too.
Singer, songwriter, girl,
brooding,
with the guitar.
A little sad, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. She's got a purple streak in her hair.
Totally. You had one, too.
She shops at Hot Topic.
Wait, didn't you have one of your dreads with purple for a minute?
I sure did. Listen, I'm dragging myself.
Okay. So I Kissed a Girl quickly reached number one on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. But I Kissed a Girl also created controversy among religious groups and LGBT groups. Getting from the left, getting from the right.
Yes.
The former, the religious, criticized its homosexual themes, while the latter accused her of being bi-curious to sell records.
I think this is so interesting because we have come so far culturally when it comes to how we talk about bisexuality, especially with men. We still have a long ways to go, but like, we've more generally accepted that bisexuality is real, and we have now more openly queer artists like Janelle Monáe and Victoria Monáe, no relation, and Kalani singing about having relationships with men and women versus the Katy Perrys of the world, the straight girls being like, haha, I kissed a girl. I like that.
It's such a weird, I mean, you know, this brings up the queer baiting conversation. I feel like we're having it with a lot of musicians, male mainly. But you know, they're Sam Smith's out there and he's not really talking about men specifically that I can recall, but he is queer and he is out. And you know, that is someone to mention as well. But I do want to talk about this queer baiting thing, because it's related to the bisexuality. We don't know what these people's sexuality, they haven't declared them, or maybe they have, but isn't it, I think there's something to be said for being who you are and expressing yourself how you want to, but there's, everything's open to critique, I think, as well.
Right.
Because, like, if there's something to be said for, like, a man walking down the way Harry Styles does in his concerts, being criticized for it. One thing that I want to talk about was Bad Bunny, who's also being criticized for queer baiting. He made this comment, I forget what magazine it was in, I think it was an Out. He said, I get endless numbers of negative comments and sexist and homophobic ones without being homosexual for dressing like that. He went on to say, maybe the queer person suffers more, but it's not like I put on a skirt and go out and they say, look how cool. They're going to attack me with all of their force anyway. I think it's interesting, not that he's like the cheerleader for queer people, but I just think it's interesting to have somebody that does identify as straight having the conversation. I don't hear Harry Styles really having it, but I think it's valuable to point out when we're having a little detour about bisexuality.
No, and I, you know, the Bad Bunny of it all, it's kind of like give people the freedom, men, straight men, the freedom to experiment and try different things. And maybe if we lived in a world where people weren't stigmatized for wearing, men weren't stigmatized for wearing skirts or nail polish or whatever, more people would feel comfortable experimenting, but also yes. accepting that maybe they, you know, want to try different things with their sexuality as well. And to your point about the queer baiting of it all, sometimes I get frustrated by the conversation because everybody has to come out in their own time. Mm-hmm. And like, not that I want to give fucking Harry Styles a cookie, but like, we don't know that he's queer baiting. Right. Like it's easy to say that he is because he's always identified as straight, right. but I don't know what he does behind closed doors.
There's the rub.
And I don't think it's, you know, there's some shows that have been accused of this too, right? Where an actor gets cast as gay or bisexual and then people are upset and then the person feels compelled to say like, well, actually I am queer. Mm. I just wasn't ready to come out.
Thank you very much.
Now y'all were mad about it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's just, it's a fine line. But back to the Katy Perry of it all, she has always said that she's straight. So like, it was very clearly like a tongue in cheek, kissing girls is scandalous and I'm going to use this mm-hmm. to like, you know, make the song scandalous and fun. So the album produced a number of hits, like I mentioned, Hot and Cold and Thinking of You. There was also the song You're So Gay,
oh.
which rightfully also got criticism from LGBT activists because of its riveting lyrics, including I hope you hang yourself with your H&M okay. scarf.
Let's
now that's
just stop right there. I mean, whoa.
Why is this an assault? Like, this is not something I want to listen to in the car. What?
Right.
Wait, listen. It goes on. While jerking off listening to Mozart?
What are you talking
you
about?
You don't eat meat? And drive electric cars. You're so indie rock, it's almost art. You need SPF 45 just to stay alive. You're so gay and you don't even like boys. Katie, what the
first of
fuck
all,
is this
the
song?
The last thing doesn't even scan. It doesn't even rhyme. But I'm also pissed first, that you're judging him.
Let's talk about the rhyme scheme.
I'm also pissed because you're judging him for like trying to prevent skin cancer. You need
and
SPF?
Helping the environment. Since when is driving an electric car gay?
Right. That's, I mean, I'm, you know, I'm sure she didn't write all the lyrics, but damn. Damn. She wrote enough of them.
That's
so
hilarious.
Katie was really out here using gay as if it was a slur in the year of our Lord 2008. Year of her Lord, I should say. Mm-hmm. I guess you never saw that Hillary Duff PSA. I mean, wait. And to Katie's credit, I didn't see it either.
You hadn't seen this PSA?
I had not seen this PSA until we did the research for this episode.
Yo, this PSA, we have to put a clip in here. It's so funny because I'm sorry, why is straight ass Hillary Duff the one being like, don't use the word?
Do you like this top? So gay.
Really?
Yeah, it's totally gay.
You know, you really shouldn't say that.
Say what?
Well, say that something's gay when you mean it's bad. It's insulting. What if every time something was bad, everybody said, oh, that's so girl wearing a skirt as a top.
Oh, you are.
Those are cute jeans, though. When you say that's so gay, do you realize what you say? Knock it off.
I was waiting for Hillary to drop something that was, like, real. Like
yeah, she
straight.
Said nothing. Like, she said
absolutely
nothing. It's so surface level. And, like, and it's so funny, too, because Hillary totally has that look of, like,
totally. And, like, like puts her purse back on her shoulder and, like, does a sachet away. Get out of here. So for Katy Perry, not knowing Hillary Duff's, you know, PSA doesn't negate her cultural insensitivity. We'll get back to that later. That wouldn't be the last time Katy was called out for it, though, Fran, huh?
Oh, no. We have many examples of Katy getting called to the table. So while One of the Boys garnered plenty of attention, it was Katy's second album, the 2010 Teenage Dream, that really put her on the map and solidified her status as a pop culture star. It produced so many top charting singles, including California Girls, mm-hmm. with Snoop Dogg. I'm sorry. It's a bop.
It's a bop.
It's a bop. Firework.
Yo, Firework is baby, you're a fire. It was my jam.
You have to go firework. Work.
She really chews those R's, doesn't she?
She is. Just out here. E.T. featuring Kanye West. Mm-hmm. Last Friday Night. And then the album's title track, Teenage Dream. Perry, as I mentioned in our game, went on to make history by becoming the first female artist to have 5 number one singles from one album. And this kills me. An achievement that was previously only accomplished by Michael Jackson.
Whoa,
with 1982's Thriller. Michael Jackson and Katy Perry in the same sentence?
Wow. No, not coming for the King of Pop's numbers. That's crazy. Again, because she probably didn't write all the songs. you know, they dubbed her the Queen of Camp.
No. That's a no for me. I will give her her flowers, but the Queen of Camp?
I also just don't. That doesn't apply because isn't she? She's not a musician. She's a music artist. Why?
Yeah,
is she?
But okay. I guess maybe Queen of Camp because early in her career she was very much like giving quirky girl,
sure,
you know, wearing like when she in the music video for California Girls, there's like whipped cream coming out of her shooting out of her boobs. Oh, and you know, she was always wearing like clothes that looked like she was in Candyland or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like
colors.
A popsicle in her head, and her, she had blue hair and shit. I would call Lady Gaga Queen of Camp before,
sure,
I would call
absolutely
Katy Perry.
Absolutely. She,
Katy Perry is like the dollar store version of,
no, oh, how dare you, Dollar Tree, get out of here. Yeah, she,
you can find a deal at Dollar Tree, but
listen,
it's still a dollar.
Dollar Tree, because I'm toilet paper to Dollar Tree in a second.
Yes,
Queen of Camp. No, I don't know. Queen of some color. Queen
pop.
Of color.
I
Britney
I would
Spears
say,
is the queen of pop.
Yes. And yes,
I mean,
yes, yes.
And,
but
I mean,
she, so maybe she's like a foot soldier of pop.
she's the lady in waiting of pop.
wait. She's a chambermaid. A chambermaid.
Not
of
the
pop.
Chamber pot. Get out of here. So in 2010 was a huge year for Katy. After The One That Got Away was released as the album's 6th single in October, Teenage Dream became the 3rd album to spawn a 6 top 5 songs on the Billboard Hot 100 after Rhythm Nation by Janet Jackson. And she got both the Jacksons. She got both of the Jacksons. Damn, though.
Not her collecting them like Pokemon.
Okay. After her Rhythm Nation by Janet Jackson and Faith by George Michael.
Wow. I mean, it's crazy because she really has accomplished a lot in her career, and it's surprising given the caliber of her music. But I will say, I loved The One That Got Away. Do you know that song?
The One That Got Away. Yeah, you know what?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. She loves a whoa.
Just make it sound. Here's what I'll say.
She loves that.
Here's what I'll say about that music video. The One That Got Away in the music video is maybe 16 years old. And I'm like,
is he?
I know. I mean, he looks it next to Katy Perry. I was like, why is she marrying this child?
I just remember that in the video they play young love interest and then they flash forward to her in like old age makeup, and it's kind of cheesy, but I like it. Like, it's cute, it's very romantic and nostalgic, and I don't know, it's like I have a sweet spot for that video.
I think I'm totally conflating videos. I'm thinking of something, another Katy Perry song, because that one is great. I do love when they're an old maid. Yes, because that's what Diego Luna is in that music video, an actor who I really, really enjoy from Y Tu Mamá También.
Yes, you know, I didn't remember who was in it. I just remember that I love the song. And like, you know what I think I also like about it is so often you watch a music video and you think this has nothing to fucking do with the song.
Mm-hmm.
The song is like, you know, I love you so much. And then the video is like, we're aliens on the moon. Like, why? So I liked that the song is about the one that got away. And then the video is her looking through, you know, her yearbook, mm-hmm, and shit and having these memories. And then you see her as an old lady feeling sad about the one that got away. I mean, truly, the bar is in fucking hell.
Wow.
But that's why I liked it.
No, I dig it too. I also love the house they were in. That's how you know you're old. I was like, give me that architecture, okay?
Jeez. You were like, let me pull up Zillow right now.
Okay.
So the 2010s were a huge year for Katy Perry, but it's also when she started branching out into film and TV. She was a guest judge for the first time on American Idol. She voiced a character on The Simpsons and later made her feature film debut as the voice of Smurfette. Did not know that. She also began venturing into business opportunities. She had her very first fragrance, Purr, in 2010, followed by her second fragrance, Meow, in December 2011. Katie, I guess her fans' nicknames are the Kitty Cats. Katie Cats.
Oh, Lord God.
It's a stretch.
It's a hard stretch.
It's a stretch. But as a branding person, kitty, meow, purr, I mean, I'm okay with it.
Listen, okay. How about Katie? How about that?
Exactly. Just let's start simple. Right? Katie also in 2012 released an autobiographical documentary, Katy Perry, Part of Me, which kind of seems to be customary for touring musicians when they get to the top of their game. You've got a Taylor documentary, a Gaga, Beyonce, Lizzo, etc. In the world of musician documentaries, it's whatever. But the moment that got a lot of attention is when she finds out that her then husband, Russell Brand, wants a divorce via text message. And this is right before she's getting ready to go on stage to perform. And she's bawling backstage. She doesn't want to go on, but she pushes through. And right as the stage door opens, she wipes away a tear. She flashes a smile and she's fucking on. And it's an incredible moment. Like, that's the moment that I thought, okay, this girl is actually a performer. Not that I want her to go through that experience someone who's been divorced, but watching her go from tears to smile and then singing, I was like, girl, I don't know if I could have done that.
Well, listen, that's why these documentaries work. Celebs, musicians in particular, I always suggest them for my rebrand for musicians because they just show you, I mean, you know, the camera's always on, but it just shows you a human side. When I watched this clip, I gasped. I mean, not only because that moment you talk about when she goes, she smiles and then looks at the guy and they hit the elevator for her to come up. You were like, damn, it's just, it epitomizes the phrase, the show must go on, as people who perform, especially me as a live performer. Yo, I have been bawling backstage, crying, had to like wipe my tears, go on, and on stage, I'm literally holding back tears because of what's happening in my life, but I have to do the job, right? I can only call out and work so many times. I have to go out and perform. There's something, a lot to be said for that, and I completely empathize with that, but also not a divorce via text message.
Listen, well, and now with... I never really saw it for Russell Brand, but I will say, as the news cycle has shown us recently, he ain't been shit as long as he's been in this industry. And yes, a text message is not the way. Shout out to Katy Perry, because I know right now she is fucking cackling with her girls in the group chat. Like, I knew that bitch was not shit the whole time.
Okay.
And you know, karma comes for you.
It really does. But before we dig into Katy's next album, Fran, let's take a quick break.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we're back. So in 2013, Katy continued her success with the release of Prism, featuring the hit Roar, the other hit Dark Horse, featuring Juicy J, and This Is How We Do.
Now listen, Dark Horse is on my gym playlist, and I will not apologize for loving the fuck out of that song.
Wasn't there a weird controversy where people were like talking about Is that fetishizing? Because UCJ was in a video and like...
Well, and you know what's so funny is in my research, somebody brought up, they were like, yes, Katy Perry only collaborates with black artists, queen of allyship. And what? I was like, wait a second. Snoop Dogg, Juicy J, Kanye,
Migos. Or is it
she?
Or is it like
she? We can't decide what it is. We're like she need the blacks. Katy Perry. She loves them.
Well, that and like, or is it like trying to be adjacent? Right, trying to rub up against.
No, I absolutely believe that she's doing the thing where she's like proximity is cultural capital. And look, it worked because I liked the song.
Right.
And I liked the E.T. song too. California Girls, eh. But like, Dark Horse is a bop, in my opinion.
If you want to play with magic, it's a jam.
Oh, yeah, it is.
No, I love it. At the time of its release, Prism was the 6th best-selling album in the world. Wow.
Incredible.
And the Prismatic tour that followed it was the 2nd highest-grossing tour in North America in 2014 and the 25th highest-grossing tour of all time. That's insane.
I know.
But even with all that success, the teenage dream hype was visibly fading. Prism failed to launch another top 20 single, and suddenly Perry was running into criticism over tone-deaf gaffes. The video for This Is How We Do, which featured her wearing cornrows, led to her being accused of cultural appropriation. I think here's the thing about cornrows, because I feel like we have this conversation. I just want to like take a little tangent in here. It's not like it's when little girls and little boys are being told they can't wear their natural hairstyles or hairstyles they want in school.
Speak on it.
It goes to the Supreme Court and these kids cannot wear their hairstyles, whatever state they're in, right? You don't see cornrows on Wall Street. You don't see cornrows at, you know, name the business, but in a fashion show, in a music video, that's what feels like appropriation. It's the appropriation of the culture, of the style. And that's what I think we have to put out there. It's not just because you're wearing cornrows. It's just because in certain places it's not allowed. It's not appropriate.
Right. Like we're not allowed to do it and look professional.
Right.
But you can do it and be like, oh, this is a fun costume. Oh, I'm dressing up. Oh, I'm walking on the runway.
Right.
But like a hairstyle that's literally created to protect our hair. Like it's not just for fun. It is a protective style.
Right.
Suddenly, oh, you don't look professional. Oh, you look like a thug if you're wearing cornrows. It's ridiculous.
That's insane. So then, more gaffes. At the American Music Awards, she performed unconditionally dressed as a geisha, which was bad enough. But the kimono also had Chinese style Mandarin collar, aka the costume shop was just throwing any old Asian thing up in there. And many suggested that her makeup was giving yellow face, which is, I don't understand.
How do you get so far into your career and nobody on your team? I mean, I think the obvious answer is your team is not diverse, right? Because somebody in the team should have been like, why do you have extra white face makeup on and like certain eye makeup in addition to having this kimono on? Like, it's just not appropriate
at all. What's more is that the song had nothing to do with Japanese culture, which it was also mixing random Asian cultures together. And given the song's theme of loving a man unconditionally, some argue that the performance played into stereotypes about Asian women being subservient and more docile.
Yeah, I wanted to read this quote from journalist Jeff Yang, because I felt like he really did a good job of summing up a lot of the critiques of this performance. He says, the problem with Miss Saigon and with Madame Butterfly, and yes, with Katy Perry's unconditionally performance, is fundamentally that they are all confabulations of Asia invented by non-Asian people, with little concern for cultural legitimacy and no attempt to offer historical context. And because there are so few authentically told stories within the size and dazzle of these, such spectacles have evolved into a kind of truth, an imagined truth, that the fictional, fantastical facts embedded within them have become mashed up with reality.
Mm-hmm.
So again, people don't know enough about Asian culture, and then they see this performance, they see these movies, and they're like, that's what it is.
And then the critique is, and Gwen Stefani, too, if I can conflate, Gwen Stefani fan into
put
this
her in
too,
there.
Right? Of like, well, it's my appreciation for Asian culture. If you appreciated Asian culture, you should go to someone who's Asian and say, how can I respectfully
if you respected Asian culture, one Asian person would have been on your team and told you that that was not the move.
And you could have hired them. You could have outsourced that. That could have been a one-off.
Yeah, you could pay somebody to be a consultant as a like a cultural sensitivity filter. Is this okay? Let's just do a gut check before we spend all this money on production. For a song, P.S., why does she have to pronounce unconditionally unconditionola?
Unconditionola. I kind of love it, though. Unconditionola. It's like, it gets my little heart. You don't like it? You don't like that song?
Katie needs to stick to the rivers and the lakes that she is used to. A ballad.
Get out of here, Pocahontas.
A ballad is not here for Katie.
Well, listen, it has a beat to it, though. It's unconditional.
No.
Oh, I love it.
No, that is one of my least favorites. Despite the backlash and the waning chart success, Katy Perry was chosen to headline the Super Bowl in 2014 with Lenny Kravitz and Missy Elliott as special guests. Now, not so much on Lenny, but having Missy as Katy's special guest is offensive.
Mad offensive. Just like, I mean, Missy's been here for decades. Katy's been here for a second.
I don't know if you remember this because I was on Twitter and I know you're not like super into Twitter, but the youngins did not know who Missy was. And they were like, who is that? Her music is good.
Where's she at?
I was so pissed.
Gagged. Absolutely gagged.
And do you remember Left Shark? Do you remember this?
So, listen, I do remember Left Shark, but talk about Left Shark because I have an opinion about it.
So, during Katy's Super Bowl performance, she was doing the song Teenage Dream, and Katy had two dancers dressed as enormous sharks on either side of her in these, like, big costumes. The right one was dancing, hitting the one and the twos. Finn, you know, going all over the place, showing them teeth. But the one on the left was totally out of sync. It looked like he had forgotten the choreography. It was so fucking funny, and it became a meme. And in some ways, overshadowed Katy's performance. Do you remember the left shark? And what did you think about it?
I do remember the left shark. I need y'all to calm all the way down. Because, listen, the left shark, first of all, whoever they are, is in a fucking shark costume. They can barely see. I'm surprised. Why did they even have stairs? They had stairs.
And why were there sharks?
Why the fuck were there sharks? And if you look at the video again, the first part, they are together. The second part, the shark was like, it's hot as fuck in this thing. That's what it was.
Not you being on the shark side. That's the performer and you empathize.
100%.
I love that. You're like, he can't see in that costume.
That's where mine goes.
Maybe you should have been at the dress rehearsal and voice those concerns, sir.
I hate you so much. Do you know how many times you have a, well, maybe you should. That is your let me fix it every day of your damn life. You said, well, maybe you should.
Why do I do? I don't know where
that's funny. It's part of your shtick. It's so funny.
Oh, my God. All right. So now it's time that we get into Katy's downfall.
Da, da, da.
Thank you for the sound effect. In 2016, Roar was used as Hillary's campaign song, and that seemed to signal a new direction for Katy, a.k.a. her woke era.
Okay.
So after Clinton lost the election, Katy Perry announced her comeback single, Chained to the Rhythm, and said that her new album, Witness, which was later released in 2017, would be politically charged, quote, purposeful pop. Chained to the Rhythm performed decently, but Perry's behavior and a poorly received haircut seemed to signal the public turning on her. Now, this is just sexism.
I mean,
but I will say, Katy cut her hair and it was not very flattering. I put in a picture into the doc.
I don't know what you are talking about.
you like this Kate Gosselin, let me speak to the manager ass haircut?
Kate Gosselin is off. Kate Gosselin is way off, Fran. Kate Gosselin had way bigger bangs. It was like a party in the front.
It's the spirit. It's the spirit of Kate Gosselin. No,
she's giving Tinkerbell. She's giving. I mean, listen, Pink has this haircut. Who else has this haircut? A lot of people have this haircut.
Yes. And you know what? To that point, I blame Rihanna, because when she got that little pixie cut, everybody and their mama thought they could fucking rock one. And the truth is, everyone don't have Rihanna's face.
Oh, legit.
I like Katie. I like, you know, she's problematic for sure. But this haircut aged her. She looks so youthful with like the long pinup thing. Mm. And I also think that the pixie cut just didn't make her... It made her like less memorable. I don't know. It just felt it was not the right direction, and it's weird that it turned people against her.
They were looking for something. They were searching. But I will say this: if she'd kept the hair dark, maybe it would have worked. Because this is a platinum blonde, and the haircut at the same time.
Yes, exactly. You're doing way too much. Less is more. Pick one thing and then ease us into something else. Mm. So. In addition to the new haircut and the purposeful pop, Katie updated her Instagram bio and called herself an activist and started posting quotes by famous thinkers like Einstein, Socrates, and Plato. She also posted a picture of a Black Lives Matter t-shirt and captioned it, "When your holiday shopping is woke AF."
Okay, girl. Okay.
Like, what? What does that even mean?
It just becomes performative. And listen, we all perform, don't get me wrong. I mean, I perform a lot. But when you, it just becomes performative on social media versus like, you know, donate some money and be quiet, girl.
Yes.
So for many, Perry's purposeful pop and quote unquote wokeness felt inauthentic considering her history of racial flubs. The fact that none of her album singles after Change of the Rhythm touched on politics left listeners feeling like Perry used activism to promote her new music without actually following through with it. Later, her single Bon Appetit, a song about sex, girl, conalinga. later, the single Bon Appetit, a song about sex, was criticized by her gay fans for featuring the notoriously homophobic rap group Migos. I didn't know that about them, but I do now.
Oh, yeah. No, they have a song where they literally are like, "I do not fuck with queers." That's the line.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. It's bad.
Wow. See, this is why I'm glad I'm in a relationship with you, because you stay plugged in, girl.
Oh, I know everybody's tea, for better or for worse.
So Swish Swish, which is not a great song, but uses a great sample. I think Nicki Minaj is on the song, and it samples something from Nicki Minaj's one Nicki Minaj song.
I didn't realize that's where the sample came from.
Yeah, I dig the sample a lot. So Swish Swish, her next single, was supposedly a diss track about Taylor Swift that many felt was anti-feminist. Her new woke identity felt even less authentic when she made fun of Britney Spears' mental breakdown during her promotion of Witness, her album. This promoted a lot of criticism from Spears' fans and pop fans in general, and it contributed to a growing feeling that her new brand was just a facade.
I mean, this whole era was messy and strange and confusing. She did this worldwide Witness live stream to promote the album, which was a 96-hour Big Brother house style event hosted by Katy Perry.
Wow.
And it was fucking weird. The stream featured Katy dancing and singing along to her new album, which was very cringy, watching Katy sleep. Because it was a full live stream, 96 hours.
Oh my God.
Then watching Katie meditate in silence. There was also a 1-hour therapy session where Katie became very emotional as she was opening up to this therapist about her life, including a struggle with alcohol abuse, suicidal ideation, religious experiences, her evangelical parents.
Wow.
It was just like, so all over the place. And the live stream did get a lot of viewers, I think just because people were curious what was going on.
Well, girl, you're on 96 hours. I bet it did. That's a long fucking time.
49 million views.
Wow.
I know. But the reception overall was pretty negative. One moment that listeners might remember that went viral is that Katie had this dinner. It was like dinner and discourse hosted by her, along with a bunch of different celebrities, including Van Jones and Sally Cohn from CNN. Anna Navarro from The View, Margaret Cho, Amanda Seales, and Caitlyn Jenner. And there was this moment where Caitlyn and Amanda got into it. I don't know if you've seen this clip. But Caitlyn's like, I'm proud to be an American. And Amanda's like, what you proud about?
Yo, listen, I don't care what you say about Amanda Seales' world, but she be letting y'all know.
She will listen.
She be letting y'all
know. She will let you fucking know. And like, to her credit, she's quick.
Yes.
You know, she's
so
going to go back and forth with you. And that's where I struggle. Sometimes, like, in the moment, I get so.
You struggle? Girl?
I do. You know what it is? It's like, it's after the fact. I'm always like, oh,
I should have said this. I should have said that.
I should have said this. I should have said that. Like, I'm better. Not that I'm not good off the cuff, but I like to have my notes.
Oh, girl, I need a note.
I need some notes. I need a run through. I need a mic check 1, 2. I need a market rehearsal.
Like, back to one, right?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Ready, 5, 4. Like, that's me. Boom, ka, 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 boom, da.
You better 5, 6, 7, 8 me. Wait, I'm yes. The editing queen. Shit, I will edit the fuck down so you think I sound brilliant.
Exactly, exactly. But like live streaming in front of millions of people with celebrities around you and cameras everywhere, like it's really hard for me. I'll get through it.
Right.
But to your point, Amanda's really good at that. Mm-hmm. And she fucking clocked the fuck out of Caitlyn.
She really did. Caitlyn couldn't say nothing. She couldn't say anything.
No, she was not prepared for that at all. It went super viral. But overall, the rest of the live stream was just kind of seen as like, girl, what is the point of this? It doesn't make any sense.
Katie also had her comeuppance during the live stream. She sat down with this activist, DeRay, and they talked about the past accusations against her and the cultural appropriation of it all. Perry said she regretted wearing cornrows in her music video for This Is How We Do. Okay, girl, heard. And the backlash inspired her to talk to one of her black friends. Listen, I'm glad you have them, okay? She had to talk to one of her black friends, Cleo Wade, who's a poet. To understand why it had upset people. Cleo told me about the power in black women's hair and how beautiful it is and the struggle. I listened and I heard and I didn't know. And I won't even understand. And I won't even understand some of those things because of who I am. I will never understand, but I can educate myself. And that's what I'm trying to do along the way. I don't know what else she could have said or done.
Yes.
So heard and accepted. But I think our cynicism and jade is just where black people in the world being like, girl.
It's just that thing. And you and I've talked about this so many times is like, as black people, we have to know so much about white people just in order to survive.
It's so crazy.
And it's just like, you could get this far in life. And to your own admission, you have black friends and you still were like, I didn't know.
You know what? It goes, I'm going to mess this up, but you know that video of the famous white, anti-racist.
Yes. Jane Elliott.
Thank you. Who's in an auditorium full of white students, and she's like, mm-hmm. Who in here, I'm bastardizing this, but who in here would love to be black or would love to?
And no one raises their hand.
She's like, okay, so you do know.
If you, as a white person, would be happy to receive the same treatment that our black citizens do in this society, please stand. You didn't understand the directions. If you, white folks, want to be treated the way blacks are in this society, stand. Nobody's standing here. That says very plainly that you know what's happening. You know you don't want it for you. I want to know why you're so willing to accept it or to allow it to happen for others.
So you do know. So to your point, she knows. How do you not know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, they always want it both ways, because in that cornrow clip, she's, you know, smacking her lips.
Wow.
And she's got long nails and she's doing a bob and weave with her head, with her neck. She knows exactly what she's doing.
Right,
and then
right.
She's like, wait, this was bad. People are upset. So, you know, again, to your point, she's trying to take responsibility. It's better to say something than nothing at all.
Right. But when you're backed into a corner, you got to say something, okay?
You got to say something. So, you know, she facilitated this conversation. So I guess she gets points for that. In the same interview, Perry also addressed her performance at the 2013 American Music Awards and that Japanese geisha theme. She said, even in my intention to appreciate Japanese culture, I did it wrong with the performance, and I didn't know that I did it wrong until I heard people saying that I did it wrong. That's a long way to say.
To say nothing.
To say nothing. So the interview and the apologies got mixed feedback. Some people were appreciative, while others criticized her for not employing a more diverse staff, which I agree. These could have been easily avoided.
Well, and here's the other thing I have to say, again, from our side of the aisle, if it were, if you can say that, when it comes to being Black, like, again, we have to know so much more about their culture. And I think people are upset. I mean, I don't hear it in this quote unquote apology, acknowledgy, as Fran would say, acknowledgy of about the Japanese misappropriation of Japanese culture. But the idea that, like, oh God, I'm in a corner, I did something wrong, leave me alone. We're allowed to criticize you.
Right.
We're allowed to criticize you. Again, because we live in a world where we all inherited racism, where we all inherited all of this bullshit. So we're all dealing with it. I'm dealing with it in my own way. You, Fran, you are out here as a fucking warrior, cheerleader, always have been in your career, doing that work. And so when you're criticized for it, just take the L. Just hear and go. And some people argue this is what Katie's doing, but I just want to give that voice. Just take the L and understand that that's the work you have to do.
Yeah. And I think that part of the criticism probably came from the fact that it took her so long to say something. You know, like, this happened in 2013, and then in 2017, you're like, yeah, I'm ready to talk about it. Like, we should have heard something from you in 2013.
Right.
People still are going to feel how they're going to feel about it. But the insincerity comes from the fact that you didn't say anything. You kind of just let it go. And now you're trying to sell a record and you're like, yeah, I'm listening. I'm here. I hear you.
Right. It's disingenuous.
I did wrong.
Totally.
You know, like, exactly. It feels incredibly disingenuous. And then the final nail in the coffin was Katy Perry's SNL performance of Bon Appetit. It was really detrimental to the Witness era. It was mocked across social media because of Katie's awkward dancing and the seemingly clunky inclusion of Migos.
I'm sad that it's about me. I didn't know this about Migos, but now I do.
Well, so here's the tea, is that while this performance was very cringe and lots of us were laughing about it, there was tons of memes, it was later revealed that it wasn't entirely Katie's fault for it being so awkward, because Katie was forced to improvise after Migos allegedly refused to perform with the drag queens that were supposed to be a part of the performance.
Whoa.
And so that's why some shit feels so off, because she's kind of winging it. But this did not come out until much later, and by then the damage had already been done, and the awkwardness of the performance was almost entirely blamed on Katie. Now, this is an example of, like, you're between a rock and a hard place,
right, right.
But I kind of wish that she had just thrown their asses under the bus.
I was just going to say, I would have thrown your ass right under the bus.
Yeah, especially because she got so much. And look, Katy Perry has, as we've talked about, a number of skeletons in her closet. Mm-hmm, she is not nearly as progressive as she paints herself out to be. But sexism is a motherfuck that, like, it turned into she's the worst. And granted, the clip is awkward. Oof. It's very weird. Oof. She doesn't know what she's doing. But then, like, the context of they had something totally different planned.
Right.
And at the very last minute, they had to scrap the drag queens in the performance to get Migos to agree to go on stage. It's like,
girl, that's what you get for messing around with them.
Well, also, like, that's also like, did they not come to rehearsal? Did you not tell them what the performance was?
Right,
like,
right.
That should have been a red flag early on. And it's like, all right, cool. Y'all won't be in the performance at all. Or let's just do a different song.
Or let's just do a different song. Like, I would, and again, that you're probably right. It probably happened last minute and they had to pivot, and the pivot just, you know, wasn't substantive, or they couldn't do it as hard as they wanted to. But
yeah,
that's rough. Let's go to Katy today, because we want to talk about some other things. She's, you know, her brand is kind of, she has tentacles, you know. Katy has remained booked and busy between serving as a judge on American Idol, putting out various fragrances, kitty cat meow, and a Vegas residency, and Katy Perry's shoe collection, which Fran loves.
No. Oh my God. Oh my God. These shoes are so ugly. I put some pictures in the doc. They're so weird. She's trying so hard. Who needs a sneaker that looks like a burger? Who's wearing that?
Wait, there's also, what is this one with the white one with the dookie on the back? It looks like a piece of shit on the, as the heel. What is that?
I don't know what that dookie thing is.
That's
crazy.
Then
like a shoe that looks like a car.
And there's
another one that has a big dollar sign on it. It's just strange.
What is this this open toe thing, red thing with the, what is the heel made out of? Is that a cigarette or a cigar?
It does look like a cigar. It's just, I guess this is like her trying to be campy, but
yeah.
it comes off as inauthentic. But then I was cracking up at this when doing my research for the shoes. Katy Perry, saddened by blackface claims over her shoe rage. This is a black shoe with a face.
Oh my God.
First of all, the shoes are hideous. Second of all, the fact that someone thought this shoe was blackface. This is like a stereotype of what conservatives think that liberals do.
Absolutely.
That shoe is blackface. No, it's not. It's just ugly.
It happens to be black and have a face on it, guys. Go on. It's so much. Wait, it's kind of like, it could be like arguably a Picasso, you know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to give points here, but.
There's also this designer, Schiaparelli, who does a lot of face stuff.
Yes.
There's always like a purse that has like big nose on it or something. Like, it's cool. I'm into that. This definitely feels like the Dollar Tree version of Schiaparelli. But the fact that people called it blackface and Katy had to make a statement is fucking hysterical.
I also think it's funny that like, she's like, I'm saddened. Girl, we're saddened by the shoe. We're saddened.
She's like, I hear you. I'm listening. I will never know what it's like to deal with blackface. And for that reason, I'm removing these shoes.
Meanwhile, she has them in her closet.
Exactly. And while Katy is taking a break from producing music these days, she's still very successful and very rich. Most recently, right as we were getting her ready to record this episode, the news dropped that she had sold her back music catalog to Litmus Music for, get ready for it, a cool $225 million.
Wow. When I heard this news, I mean, listen, I don't know anything about masters and music catalogs and all that stuff, but I know they'd be selling them left and right and people get mad. Michael Jackson bought the Beatles catalog and I forget who just bought it from Michael Jackson's estate or maybe his estate sold it. But I was like, aren't these things worth like billions of dollars? I mean, Dylan, $225 million is a lot of, give me that money, but.
A ton of money. It's incredible that she's at a place in her career where she has a catalog that's worth that much. But it's also interesting when you think about the fact that she hasn't put out an album in 3 years.
Wow.
But her back catalog is worth that much money.
Man, I'm out here trying to pay these student loans.
So, as usual, though, Katy cannot seem to escape controversy. Most recently, she was slammed for campaigning for billionaire Rick Caruso for LA mayor after branding herself as a progressive activist. Because if you don't know, Rick Caruso is a former Republican. So he pretended to be a Democrat, but he's still a Republican, anti-choice candidate, spent millions of his own dollars to fund his campaign, which was essentially homelessness is bad. And we got to crack down on crime by having more police presence. Come on now. Thankfully, Caruso lost to Karen Bass. She's our LA's first black woman mayor. This killed me. When a journalist noted that LA residents had the chance to elect a white man or a black woman for mayor, Rick Caruso interjected by saying, I'm Italian.
Oh.
So, you know, that's who Katy was like, hey guys, you know, you gonna hear me roar in the voting booth for Rick Caruso. And everybody was like, Katy, no, what are you doing?
I'm just stuck on I'm Italian. Yes, sir, but you are still white. Isn't it
you're
so
still white.
Isn't it so convenient to just be able to hip hop between cultures. No.
Oh yeah, but I'm a spicy white. It's different.
Listen, have you had pasta before? That's my people. Get out of here.
I was giving you little red pepper flakes over here. Yeah, it doesn't matter, sir. You're still white.
Okay.
So now that we've gone over Katy's career, it's time for us to fix it. But first, let's take a little quick break.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And we are back, and it is time for The Fix, where we each pitch how we would rebrand Katy Perry's career.
Let me fix it.
Delon, do you have feelings about who should go first?
Ladies first. Go ahead.
Okay, so I was thinking about the fact, and I want us to do an episode on this, that every musician has a makeup line now, and it's so annoying. I feel like the market is so oversaturated, and I was thinking, like, where is an opportunity? And I have yet to see a celebrity do press-on nails. Press-on nails are really having a moment.
Are they coming back?
They really are coming back, and they have been made to look so much nicer. Like, they look very high quality. And I feel like with the shoe line, my problem with Katy's line is that it was so weird and unwearable, but nails are one place I feel like you can get really creative and do wacky stuff and it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like you can be at the office and have like rhinestones and like art and stuff all over your nails. And with a press on, you could switch it up a lot.
Yeah.
You could do, you know, you could do different nails for every single outfit. And I feel like it could fit her brand in terms of being quirky but wearable.
And don't you wear like sticker nails or something?
Yes. So they also have these like gel press-ons where it's like a little gel sticker that you put on your nail and then you heat it under the lamp.
Uh-huh.
And it's great. It's like really fast. It lasts for a long time. And like I said, I have not seen a celebrity attach themselves to nails the way everybody's attached themselves to makeup. And I feel like you need to be the first in the game. So I think a Katy Perry press on nails thing could be cool.
I also want to say your critique about her shoes. Her shoes are like, you're going to buy them for like the money shoe. You're going to wear once somewhere. You're not wearing those all the time. Yeah.
Or for a costume or something.
Concert, or whatever.
Exactly, which fades in, which goes in nicely with my next fix, is I feel like something Halloween, like a Katy Perry Halloween collection would be very fun because she was always doing the colorful hair. She could have a line of like Katy Perry branded wigs in the pink and the blue and then like the little pinup girl thing, or even like maybe something with like a Betsy Johnson collab.
That's very smart.
Something like colorful and funky and whimsical. But the problem again with the shoes, not wearable. And it has to either, you need to go Halloween costume or you need to meet in the middle and do like quirky, but still something that you could like wear to work or.
I would even add to that, like lean into the market share of like people who do cosplay or people who do like the comic cons, right? That's your market for that. For those kind of quirky, whimsical is the word to use that word. It's such a good word for that kind of a brand. I think like that's really smart.
Yeah, because again, like I don't see a world in which a shoe that looks like a hamburger is gonna get more wears than like I mean, don't know, like
Ronald McDonald might want it, but you know.
Exactly. So you're making a, oh, you're cranking out shoes for one person. Who is the audience for that?
Right.
Okay, Delon, what is your fix?
So, you know, I'm cynical. So mine is kind of cynical, but for her PR problem, right? Mm-hmm. She does a lot of charity work. I saw in some of our research. So I say lean into that charity work and get some press on that. Again, it's cynical. I think altruism should come from a good place of like wanting to do good for the world. And I'm not saying that Katie doesn't, but that's an opportunity for her to, you know, have a 96-hour telethon raising money for a specific cause. And then, like, you remember Jerry Lee Lewis when we were younger? I mean, kind of like toward the end of his life, he would do these telethons on PBS and have all these for muscular dystrophy and all these celebrities come and perform. Like, pick up something like that, like a streaming telethon, because that becomes part of her brand as, you know, to kind of like put some sunlight or cast off some of the controversy.
Yeah. And I think you make a good point in the sense of like, it's like actions speak louder than words. Like, you can have these sit downs, you can say like, I'm listening, whatever, but then like actually show us, and you know, I love giving money to something.
Okay.
So actually putting money towards a cause, like that would have been a perfect opportunity after like the American Music Awards thing. And she got called out for appropriation. Like, can you partner with like an Asian American charity that's doing some sort of like advocacy work? Can you uplift a Japanese musician and have them feature on a song?
You don't
do them, have them on the telethon and have them perform. Like, show us that you actually hear us, but then do something to show like I'm doing the work to be better.
Right, right. Spotlight somebody, which is a good segue for my other one. I thought, like, again, reaching into the altruism of it all, like helping somebody. You remember the, you know, extreme home makeover, extreme makeover, where they would take somebody who has like a deformity or doesn't feel pretty and does something to make them feel beautiful after time. So I think like a make your career makeover show where Katie takes a budding artist and goes, hey, I'm gonna it's very akin in line with American Idol, right? I'm gonna take you into the music industry and I'm gonna blast through the glass ceiling and help you with your career, and here's your first three singles, here's your mixtape, whatever. And like the whole season is her just taking another artist, very Queer Eye, I'm Already Crying, right?
Yeah,
like tell that kind of story. So Katie, it's yours.
Ooh, I like that idea. And I think what I like about that more than American Idol is American Idol feels so overproduced. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't feel authentic
anymore.
And it's
a dinosaur.
Yeah, and like, honestly, we need to do an episode about it because they really haven't had a winner who's gone on to be super successful in a few years. Like, we have Kelly Clarkson, we have Carrie Underwood, but then everybody else, well, Fantasia, but
she didn't
that's
win.
It. No, Fantasia didn't win.
Jennifer Hudson didn't win.
She didn't win. But like, what's Clay Aiken doing?
Oh,
what's Ruben Studdard doing?
I'm so sorry. Why am I always thinking somebody's dead? I'm always thinking somebody's dead.
I don't think Ruben Studdard passed away. Wait, what about Taylor
Hicks?
Oh, no, Hicks?
It was Taylor Hicks who passed away.
He did?
Wait, let's Google it. Wait. Oh, it was a
I don't
hoax.
Know what happened to Taylor Hicks.
Hoax.
Not you falling for a Facebook hoax. Go on.
Anyway. So, but yes, back to your thing about Kelly Clarkson. Kelly Clarkson was the first, and it's the best known.
Yes, yes. And American Idol, I'm sure, has had more winners in the past few years, but I don't know who any of them are.
I can tell you.
And the show just feels, the dinosaur of it all just feels like something that, like, people don't really watch anymore.
No.
I mean, I know someone's watching it. Mm. Don't get me wrong. Someone's watching it. But obviously, it's not putting out musical stars, and some sort of reformatting should happen in order to make it more successful and feel more authentic.
I hear you. It's time to go on to our favorite segment, my favorite segment, the Glow Up, where we give props to those who have turned themselves around without help from us. So, Fran, what is your Glow Up?
So my glow up is a personal glow up. I know I already looked ahead in the doc and see that so is yours. So my glow up goes to Peloton.
Mm.
So I've gone back and forth with Peloton.
You really have? I thought you was putting that on eBay.
I sold it. I did.
Oh, you did?
This is like a bad boyfriend that I can't shake. I had like a cheap little bike that I was using as a Peloton. Then I bought a Peloton on Facebook Marketplace during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I used it pretty regularly. And then once the world opened back up and I felt safer going to like the gym and playing tennis and such, I was like, I'm going to get rid of this because you have to pay for the
bike?
Subscription.
Oh. No,
so there's like in order to take the classes on the bike, it's like $40 a month.
Oh, wow.
for that membership. Okay. And I was like, I'm spending money on this. I'm not using it, whatever. But my apartment building got a Peloton in the gym. Mm. And I was like, wait a second, because I liked those little classes. And now I don't have to pay for it. This is great. And so I'm using the Peloton in the gym in my apartment building.
Yo, I will say, your apartment is a fucking spa. It's a spa. She has a rooftop. She has a grill. She has a pool. She has a jacuzzi. Damn, girl, get it.
Listen, I moved here during the pandemic, and I was like, one thing about me, I'm about to stay my ass right here and not get COVID. So I need all of the amenities. And I'm on that little Peloton. And here's the thing. No one uses it.
Really?
Anytime I go in there, you know how there's like a glass window. You can see. I can see from my apartment.
You literally can see from your apartment. Yeah.
If anybody's in the gym, nobody's in the gym. I don't know where everybody is, but Francesca will be in that gym on that Peloton bike.
Working.
And I love it because the gym, the trainers, like, they look into the camera and they're like, you're doing it. You showed up. You got here. And I'm like, that's right. I dig it. Like, they are fully talking to me and I love every minute of it. They're like, come on, you got this. Fine. You could do anything for 3 minutes. I'm like, that's right. Three more minutes.
Why are you selling me on Peloton? Are there other people in the class or is just like the trainer and you?
It's so the trainer is on a bike in a studio doing the workout, the music, and they're just talking to you and you're just doing it with them. Listen, I love it. You can also do it without the bike. They have like classes where you can do like sit-ups and, you know, weight training and stuff. And I'd just be using my gym's account.
Wait a minute.
In here in my apartment, doing my little sit-ups.
Peloton, you should be sponsoring Let Me Fix It because we're over here giving you props. I'm a believer.
It's the truth. And also, like, the trainers and the instructors are all hot. You could follow them on Instagram and, you know, act like they're your friends.
Your friends or boyfriends?
One of the trainers followed me back and I screamed.
Because you're famous.
I'm a fangirl. No, I was truly like, oh my God, you getting his body right and tight. I'd be on that bike because of you, mama. Uh-uh. And I really feel like I made it.
That's awesome. Listen,
okay, what's your glow up?
My personal glow up to this week is Jamaican cuisine. Now, I know y'all have been out here eating Jamaican food and be like,
you give me that Jamaican food?
I'm so easy when it comes to food. I mean, I will eat Thai food every day of every minute of
my
life.
And that's where you and I are similar. Yes. I will definitely eat the same thing over and over again.
Bacon, egg, and cheese. Like, it really doesn't matter. I will eat your food that you make and I'll be like, girl, this is bomb. Like, ooh, you
can
cook.
And then you won't make it. And I'll send you some recipes and I'll be like, I made this. And you're like, not making that.
You
sent
me
all the recipes.
Wait, you sent me one that skillet one with the sweet potatoes and the eggs, that was banging. That one I did.
But you won't make anything else.
But I made that French toast thing and I messed that up. I was like, Fred, you would give me this goopy old French toast hot dish. I just made it wrong. But Jamaican cuisine. So I was looking for Thai food. I'm doing a show in New Jersey and I was doing DoorDash because I'm lazy. And I was like, oh, there's no Thai food. And I was like, okay, let me just try this Jamaican spot. People love Jamaican. Yo,
what did you get?
I got simple jerk chicken, rice on peas, and some vegetables and plantain. Oh my God. I could not believe it. Every bite, I was like, oh. I was swooning. And I was like, okay, I get it. It is so good. The one thing I will say, though, you got to watch. You got to watch because it'd be bones.
Oh,
there'd be bones in them.
Oh, wait, but did you find the jerk was too spicy? Because sometimes I take a bite of that jerk and it kick you in the throat. That's why it's called a jerk.
Because you'd be jerking back.
I'd be jerking my neck all over the place. Shit is spicy.
No, listen, I did not. I tell you, I will say this. I was like, oh, well, everybody in the neighborhood wants some because I was sitting outside. Yo, the bees and the flies and the birds all were like, da 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 da. I was like, motherfucker's coming for my chicken. You better get out of here. God. It was so good.
Wait, there is a Jamaican spot in Brooklyn that you have to go to called Gladys, I think is what it's called. And they have a curry goat that will change your motherfucking life. That curry goat. And I'm not even a goat person. Like, goat?
No, me
I'm
either.
Not doing a goat.
Me either.
But let me tell you, that goat will have you. I was eating it up. Yo. I was slurping. It's so good. Amazing.
I am a total believer. I'm for real. Like, I want to try this oxtail. I want to try this curry goat. Because, again, guys, I know y'all were out here eating it, so it's not, you're like, what are you talking about? Jamaican's everything. I just hadn't eaten it like that.
But your eyes have been open. Oh, now damn. You see the light.
I do. I see all of it. So that's, you know, I'm here for this Jamaican. So that's our show, but we want to hear from you as always. Are you one of these Katy Perry, Katy Cats? I can't even get through it. Are you one of these Katy Perry, Katy Cats? Be honest, I'm making fun of you, but only inside. What would it take her to get back in public's good graces? Or maybe you'd like to suggest a TV show, celebrity, or brand we should fix in the future? Hit us up on Instagram at FixItPod.
And if you enjoyed this episode, which we know that you did, please give us a rating on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. We always want to hear from you. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Francesca.
I'm Delon.
And this was Let Me Fix It.